You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
Just last week, on the 11th of July, we celebrated World Population Day. By the way, by 2050, India's population may increase by another 273 million. It is likely that some of us in India may scoff at the notion of celebrating a population day, considering we've been told ad nauseum since school that overpopulation is the root cause of most Indian problems. But what many of us do not understand is underpopulation is a problem in some other parts of the world. Birth rates in several countries are falling rapidly, and thanks to advances in medical sciences and life expectancy increasing therefore, what we have is an increasingly older population. Business Insider recently published a report according to which there are now more people over the age of 65 than there are under the age of 5. This dispersion supposedly has never occurred before, according to a Deutsche Bank analysis of United Nations data, Haver Analytics data, and the firm's global research. What has widely been described as a demographic time bomb may change the world. And on this edition of Digging Deeper with Money Control, we will explore just how that may happen and if we are ready to deal with it. My name is Rakesh Sharma and you're listening to Money Control.
The Deep Dive podcast series.
Rebecca Ungerino, writing for Business Insider, explains that while the world's population is aging, many countries' birth rates are failing to keep up. That is, of course, the replacement level. All around the world, countries are seeing dwindling birth rates with concomitant rising life expectancy. Aging populations incur higher spending on healthcare and pensions, and the percentage of working and tax-paying individuals is steadily going down. In the United States, for example, after reaching its historical peak at 61.1% in 2000, the labor force participation rate for all workers aged 16 and over is projected to decline to 61% in 2026. The decline in the rate is largely the result of the aging population, as more and more workers move into higher age groups that tend to have lower labor participation rates. The overall labor force participation rate has been declining since 2000, dropping sharply following the 2007 to 2009 recession and reaching 62.8% in 2016. These are data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics of the US government. Simply put, the older the population is, the slower the economy grows. Japan, South Korea, Singapore, Bulgaria, Spain are all looking at rapidly declining populations with no replacement in the offing. The US is teetering right on the edge of replacement. According to Ed Yardeni, who has been researching the aging demographic and its economic impact for decades now. China understands this problem as well. As we know, it has only recently reversed its one-child-only policy. Economists point out that these demographic time bombs could spark off widespread consequences. The findings have led fund managers to take notice of secular stagnation conditions, often associated with persistent low inflation and low growth, and they're adjusting their allocations accordingly. Business Insider said, and I quote, "The extreme data point underscores a broader economic trend that some economists are warning clients about. Declining fertility rates lead to an aging population, which is thought to usher in depressed productivity, labor force participation, and stagnant inflation. More indirect results of declining birth rates may also have an impact on macroeconomic factors like home ownership," unquote. Torsten Schlock, Deutsche Bank's chief international economist, has stated that the key issue for investors in equities, rates, and credit is if the global economy is able to generate enough productivity growth to offset these demographic trends. He also says that for foreign exchange, the question is which parts of the world will be hit harder than others by a demographic slowdown in growth. Schlock cited the secular stagnation theory, which we've also mentioned before, and one that has been endorsed by Larry Summers. Lawrence Henry Summers, or Larry Summers, just to give you context, is an American economist, former vice president of development economics and chief economist of the World Bank, senior U.S. Treasury Department official throughout the Clinton administration, and former director of the National Economic Council for President Obama. Now, I mentioned those credentials because those were the days when people who were actually qualified for the job got the job. Anyway, secular stagnation that I was talking about is a condition wherein savings rise and investment slows, causing economic growth to stall out. Summers has argued the condition may be the defining macroeconomic challenge of our times. Ed Yardeni says that generally, fertility rates around the world have fallen below replacement levels or below the level that can support population growth, and that baby bust, as opposed to baby boom, is weighing on global growth. To be more specific, Yardeni, who has long written about the economic impact of an aging population, particularly in China, has stated that the US has a fertility rate slightly below replacement. He said, and I quote, "Our fertility is right around replacement. So we're not as advanced in the birth dearth and on this kind of road to self-extinction as Japan is and China is and some other countries." Unquote. But of course, as with any theory, there are varied viewpoints about this one as well. Wall Street is also cognizant of this broader stagnation theme associated with an aging population. For two straight months last year, the theme dominated Bank of America Merrill Lynch's Global Fund Manager Survey, which takes the pulse of how big money managers view global markets and economies. However, there are many others who see no clear negative association between an aging population and declining growth. Ungarino on Business Insider cited a 2017 paper by Darren Acemoglu, who is an MIT economist, and Pasquale Restrepo, an assistant professor at Boston University, who found that contrary to the themes and concepts that Larry Summers and others have popularized, there is no negative relationship between population aging and slower growth of GDP per capita. Quoting from that paper, "In a counterintuitive result, they found that countries undergoing rapid aging have grown more in recent decades, likely reflecting a faster adoption of labor-replacing technologies and automation." The paper went on to conclude, and I quote, "There's a clear need for future work that systematically investigates the relationship between demographic change and GDP growth, as well as the channels via which this relationship works." In this context, we also have to ask ourselves, is there more to the data than meets the eye? The disquiet over the increase in the world's aging population has been gathering attention from both economists as well as population researchers. On the 5th of February in 2018, the World Health Organization released a report which said that between 2015 and 2050, the proportion of the world's population over 60 years will nearly double from 12% to 22%, and that by 2020, the number of people aged 60 years and older will outnumber children younger than 5 years. And in 2050, 80% of older people will be living in low and middle income countries. And that first statistic, that is people aged over 65 outnumbering those under the age of 5, has already happened. Quoting from the World Health Organization report, "The pace of population aging is much faster than in the past. All countries face major challenges to ensure that their health and social systems are ready to make the most of this demographic shift. People worldwide are living longer. Today, for the first time in history, most people can expect to live into their 60s and beyond. By 2050, the world's population aged 60 years and older is expected to total 2 billion, up from 900 million just in 2015. Today, 125 million people are aged 80 years or older. By 2050, there will be almost this many, that is 120 million, living in China alone, and 434 million people in this age group worldwide. So 125 million people are aged 80 years and above now, but by 2050, it could be 434 million people. By 2050, 80% of all older people will live in low and middle income countries." Unquote. Not just that, the report states that the pace of population aging around the world is also increasing dramatically. France, we are told, had almost 150 years to adapt to a change from 10% to 20% in the proportion of the population that was older than 60 years of age. But places like Brazil, China, and India will have slightly more than 20 years to make the same adaptation. Quoting from the World Health Organization report again, "While this shift in distribution of a country's population towards older ages, which is known as population aging, started in high-income countries, for example, in Japan, 30% of the population are already over 60 years old. It is now low- and middle-income countries that are experiencing the greatest change. By the middle of the century, many countries like Chile, China, the Islamic Republic of Iran, and the Russian Federation will have a similar proportion of older people to Japan." Unquote. As the report puts it poignantly, though longer life brings with it opportunities, not only for older people and their families, but also for societies as a whole, Yet the extent of these opportunities and contributions depend heavily on one factor: health. Are older people living in societies geared up to serve their economic, medical, and psychological needs? That is a question that needs deeper introspection. As the piece says, if these added years are dominated by declines in physical and mental capacity, the implications for older people and indeed for society are more negative because, simply put, aging does result from the impact of the accumulation of a wide variety of molecular and cellular damage over time. Quoting from Business Insider, beyond biological changes, aging is also associated with other life transitions like retirement, relocation to more appropriate housing, and the death of friends and partners. In developing a public health response to aging, it is important not just to consider approaches that ameliorate the losses associated with older age, but also those that may reinforce recovery, adaptation, and psychosocial growth. Unquote. Are societies, especially in countries that are still struggling with economic issues, equipped to deal with rapidly aging populations? Are already stretched public health services, old age homes, youth-centric neighborhoods, and communities prepared to deal with age-related issues in large demographic tracts? Those are the questions we need to ask. Also complicating the issue is that variations in older people's health are genetic, and much is due to people's physical and social environments like sex, ethnicity, or socioeconomic status. Quoting from the WHO report, the availability of safe and accessible public buildings and transport and environments that are easy to walk around are examples of supportive environments. A comprehensive public health response must address the wide range of older people's experiences and needs. Public health policy must be crafted to reduce rather than reinforce inequities. Public health and society as a whole need to address ageist attitudes which can lead to discrimination, affect the way policies are developed for older people. What has the World Health Organization's response been to this aging crisis? The piece also outlined how, in accordance with a recent World Health resolution, a comprehensive global strategy and action plan on aging and health is being developed by the WHO in consultation with member states and other partners. The strategy and action plan draws on the evidence of the World Report on Aging and Health and builds on existing activities to address a few priority areas for action. I tell them here with some minor changes. Number one, commitment to healthy aging must be made, and it requires sustained commitment and action to formulate evidence-based policies that strengthen the abilities of older persons. Health systems need to be better organized around older people's needs and preferences. They must be designed to enhance older people's intrinsic capacity and integrated across settings and care providers. Developing systems for providing long-term care are a must. Systems of long-term care are needed in all countries to meet the needs of older people. This requires developing, sometimes from nothing, governance systems, infrastructure, and workforce capacity. Creating age-friendly environments is a priority. This will require actions to combat ageism, enable autonomy, and support healthy aging in all policies and at all levels of government. Another much-needed step is improving measurement, monitoring and understanding, focused research, new metrics and analytical methods for a wide range of aging issues. After all, a society is measured by how it takes care of two segments. It's very young and it's very elderly. The question we ask here is India ready to adapt these changes, and where are we when it comes to the aging crisis? In relation to that question, Romita Datta wrote on India Today in April last year about how India's elderly population will grow dramatically by mid-century, and while branded corporate elder care is thriving, the welfare of senior citizens remains a quiet crisis. Quoting from that rather informative piece, for all the talk of India's demographic dividend, its bulging youth population, the country is also greying rapidly. According to a 2016 report by the Ministry for Statistics and Program Implementation, India has 103.9 million elderly people above the age of 60, which is about 8.5% of the population. These numbers are reliant on the 2011 census. The elderly population has grown at about 3.5% per year, double the rate for the population as a whole. A 2014 report by the non-profit HelpAge India shows that while India will be the youngest country in the world by 2020, by 2050, as many as 325 million people, or 20% of the population, will be elderly. While the overall population of India will have grown by about 40% between 2006 and 2050, the elderly population will have grown by a staggering 270%. The question she asks is, what are the economic and social policies being put into place to tackle this exponential growth in India's elderly population? The answers are not reassuring. The Statistics Ministry report shows that old age dependency ratio, which is a measure of the pressure on the economically productive section of the population, rose from 10.9% in 1961 to 14.2% in 2011. Though 41.6% of the elderly population still works, with significant differences between rural and urban, men and women, etc., few feel financially secure, according to the piece on India Today. Quoting from there, the large majority of the elderly in the workforce are rural men, that is 66.4% over 60 work, compared to just 11.3% urban men. That's almost a third of rural men over 60 are still engaged in the workforce, and formal pension coverage is limited and largely inadequate. A 2016 survey by the AgeWell Foundation with 15,000 rural and urban respondents showed 65% reported themselves as either financially dependent or facing a financial crisis. Nearly 80% of those in financial trouble said it was due to medical costs. Meanwhile, a 2015-2016 AISCCON, that is All India Senior Citizens Confederation survey, showed that 60% of elderly people living with their families face abuse and harassment. 66% are either very poor or below the poverty line, and 39% have been either abandoned or live alone. The associated mental health issues of living alone, especially for the elderly, are so serious that the United Kingdom has in fact appointed a Minister for Loneliness in January of last year. Let's also remember another statistic related to India. India spends just 1.2% of its GDP on healthcare. This is worrisome, given the fact that a national sample survey organization, that is NSSO report, showed that in 2014, the average urban hospital stay cost 176% more than it did in 2004, with rural patients paying 160% more than they did a decade ago. NSSO data also showed that a household comprising only elders spends 3.8 times more per month on healthcare than one without elderly kin. No wonder so many elderly Indians are financially dependent on their families, points out Rumita. In this scenario, quality home care services, daycare centers designed to help elderly patients recover from hospitalization, are few and far between, though as is expected where the government has lagged behind, private services and assisted living elder care homes have mushroomed, but could be unaffordable for most of those who need them. The report cited AISCCON further to inform that the elderly are disproportionately vulnerable to crime, whether violent or increasingly electronic, with bank and credit card frauds. We only recently saw that triple murder that took place in the Delhi NCR territory. Quoting from India Today, AISCCON wants monthly pensions to increase from 3,500 rupees to 7,000 rupees. Most importantly, it needs the central and state governments to recognize the needs of a growing elderly population. We started the podcast with World Population Day. Let's also remember that on the 15th of June, India recognizes World Elderly Abuse Day. In 2017, hundreds gathered at Jantar Mantar in Delhi to swap horror stories and protest institutionalized indifference. Too much needs to change to make India a country for old men and women. Unquote. The world is aging, and this crisis is going to hit a lot of countries like Japan, South Korea, and the Western world far sooner than it hits us. But it is inevitable that it is also going to hit us, considering we are still a rapidly expanding country with a huge population. Does the government have a plan? Sure, it's not a crisis we'll see in 5 years or 10 years, but the crisis is coming, and are we prepared for it? That is the question. Thank you for joining us.
This has been a Digging Deeper podcast. And you have been listening to Money Control.